Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 47 of the Peak of Serenity podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Emilson, as usual. So usual that I forgot to mention myself. And back from his little vacation, we have Anomaly.
Hello.
And joining us this week for the first time, we have a recent addition to the Peak of Serenity team, Mimir. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, good evening. I'm very happy to be here. I'm Mimir, also known as Daniel sometimes. I'm 24 years old. I'm from Germany. I've joined the Peak of Serenity team like a month and a half ago for translating Peak of Serenity resources for mainly Mistweavers. Maybe the other specs will join sometime later. Been playing World of Warcraft for basically since release with a short break in Pandaria. And yes, I have started playing World of Warcraft when I was 8. It was, it was something.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah, definitely welcome. I'm also, like we were talking before the show started, I'm great that you're a huge Bayern Munich fan. We can sort of connect and bond there. It's going to be awesome episode. Awesome episode. So
no sarcasm whatsoever.
not zero. Never sarcastic on this side.
So before we get into things, one of the topics on the show today that I want to talk about is Heroic Castle Nathria. Are you rating it all right now, Mimir?
Yes, I am actually. We've done Heroic Nathria on Wednesday, where we managed to kill 4 bosses, if I'm not mistaken. Which actually made us quite happy, because we felt like the raid is quite well-tuned, to be honest. We actually felt like those 4 out of 10 was a success for a 3 hours evening. And then we started into normal mode on Thursday, and we will continue heroic tomorrow.
Nice. Yeah, no, that's definitely one of the things we're going to talk about later, is the tuning of this raid is a lot different than how the past couple of tiers have been. And it's catching some people by surprise. Because people were kind of expecting it to fall over, and that hasn't happened. But before we get into that, we have a few things that have happened this week, including one more that I forgot to put on here that happened yesterday. Do you want to walk us through the stuff that happened this week, Anom?
Sure. So first up, something I know nothing about, but apparently Angry Dave, that's Nizao?
That's Invoke Nizao, yeah.
Okay. I don't know you brewmaster things. Apparently there was a fix/nerf to him. So I don't know, Emilson, if you have some more details. To be fair, I didn't actually realize there was any monk changes this week, but there's one big one for Mistweaver. But yeah, what happened with old Dave there?
Yeah, so at level 58, I think it is, brewmasters get this passive that says invoke Niazhao, or when you purify damage, that damage gets added to Niazhao's next stomp within 6 seconds, basically. Or 25% of that damage, important, 25% of that damage gets added. That's Hot Trub, if you're familiar with it. It was a PvP talent. It was our Conflict and Strife ability that got quite a bit of use in Mythic Plus last expansion. And it's very good. It's also even better when it's actually doing full damage instead of 25%, which is what it was doing. So they fixed that this week. So that was actually a really, really, really big nerf to damage in dungeons, because you could hit Niazhao and just like sit there spamming Purify and do absolutely ludicrous damage. Because it was basically, you know, something like 50% of the damage you took was just going straight back at the enemies.
Jesus. That's crazy.
Now it's a lot less, but still very good. And importantly, all of the sims and numbers that we ran, everything assumed that was being fixed. So it actually doesn't change any of our like recommendations for conduits or covenants or raid gear, anything like that. So all of our recommendations are still the same. But yeah, that nerf does kind of sting because we're one of the lower damage tanks right now.
Yeah. That sucks.
Even lower than blood decays?
No, nothing is lower than blood decays.
Bottom of the barrel there. Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. I think, I don't know if this was the other change you were talking about, but I did remember they finally changed the Mistweaver legendary tier of mourning. Which if folks weren't aware, it's the legendary that essentially, you know, increases your Vivify cleave healing and then also allows enveloping mist when you cast it to cleave onto your renewing mist targets, much like Vivify does. So essentially enveloping mist works a lot like Vivify. But the fun thing was that if you cast enveloping mist with it, it would also cast gusts of mist, our mastery, on all the renewing mist targets. So it giving insane value to mastery was a just hands down probably one of the or it was the strongest legendary, you know, pre this change. And we've been reporting that since the day it was implemented because it's been like that for like the last 6 months. So week before Heroic Week, the week of Heroic Week, they finally fixed it. So it's still, I mean, to be fair, it doesn't really diminish its sort of standing in terms of like legendary power. Yeah. It's still one of the strongest ones, but it's no longer like a head above everybody else, everything else there. So
yeah. Important note actually about that Neozao change. That change came in after some heroic Castle Nathria.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So there are a few log, not very many, because the raid's actually hard.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a few that have it pre-nerf and thus are basically doing 4x damage with their 3-minute cooldown. And that's obviously very hard to top right now. Yeah. So
lots of rank
ones. There's some rank ones that are going to stand for a little bit. They'll stand for a few weeks until we get better gear.
That's funny. Yeah, but other than that, I mean, there's been probably a litany of other changes to other classes, but at least from a Mistweaver perspective, that was a big one this week. I don't know if there's anything else for Brewmaster. I forget, Windwalker got a couple changes, I felt like, but I don't see them as I scroll quickly through the notes here. They did get some like SEF changes, or at least fixes for like how mastery was applying to the clones and things like that. So
right here we go. So fix the interaction between SEF and mastery combo strikes. Your spirits now benefit from hit combo, and fix an issue that prevented some damaging abilities cast by SEF from contributing to Zuin's level 58 leveling ability empowered Tiger Lightning. Mm-hmm. Which is that gale force thing where basically every few seconds he does damage based on the amount of damage you dealt. Yeah. So some nice few bug fixes there. Nothing super exciting.
Nope. However, we did get, I don't know if there's any other class items you had or anything, Mimir, you can remember from this week. Other than like there's a big post of a bunch of reset stuff that goes live.
Yes.
With like various, like just, it's the Blizzard percentage change patch notes, right? Where it's like, this ability does 5% less, or in the case of shamans, you do 4% less healing, just in general. those will go live with reset, but all monk specs sort of escaped those sort of blanket changes. So
for now,
I'm actually kind of happy about that because I did the rookie mistake and actually crafted my legendary this week.
Oh, really?
Because I was like, I need to get a little bit more out of myself for the heroic clear this week. So I actually crafted my rank to Tear of Mourning, actually.
Oh, nice.
I was still debating between Invoker's Delight and Tear of Mourning, but then I did go for Tear of Mourning because I was like, Invoker's Delight doesn't do anything out of Celestia. So I went for the more consistent healing improvement rather than the big boom CD, because I know my guild and I know like just new raids in general, you're going to overlap CDs, you're going to snipe each other, and I don't want to even increase the snipe and the overheal that my Celestial does, right. Rather went for the Tear of Mourning then. Because I also felt like it's a, just a safe choice. The only thing that's really coming remotely close to it is the ancient teachings of the monastery. Mm-hmm. Maybe Yulon's Whisper, but I think they would have had to nerf Tear of Mourning by a significant margin for those to pull ahead. So I felt like Tear of Mourning is a safe choice, so I guess just go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, the other idea is ancient teachings dead on Sun King, right? So it's not a very usable legendary there. So
very sad. Yeah. I really like that legendary. I'm 100% gonna craft it and try it out in Mythic Plus and maybe some heroic alt raids or something.
Mm-hmm.
It looks to be very fun to play, but sadly the numbers just don't make it the top choice.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. So cool. So I think the next update was Blizzard's Too Much Loot post, right? From this week, which is essentially heroic raids, we're getting too many loot pieces, which I mean, I will tell you, in my raid, we are averaging six-ish pieces every boss kill, which is, I think, a little bit high for what they were doing. We're running about 28-ish people in the raid. So between 25 and 28 in our clear. So yeah, it's Blizzard is nerfing it. They're reducing it, I believe, to about two to three pieces on average is what they want to get it down to from the 5 to 6 that it is right now. So
So it's about cutting the drop rate in half.
Yeah.
Not quite half, but close to it. It is quite a substantial nerf. But at the same time, they are doing it. They posted this at midnight on Thursday. But no, I'm an idiot. They posted it at noon yesterday. Time is hard. but the fix actually doesn't go in until reset.
Right.
So people like me that raid on the weekend are not getting unduly screwed. So we are getting extra loot this week. Next week, it's
so dumb.
Getting nerfed.
They should punish people who don't raid day one.
Yeah, 100% agree.
I do want to mention as well, so you touched a little bit on the percentage change tuning pass, the class tuning heroic fixes that are coming in on Tuesday/Wednesday as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few fun ones in there.
Oh, are there?
Yeah, not specifically monk related, but there's a very important one that is unfortunately ambiguous, and we will know more on Tuesday. Threat generation for all tanks increased by 10%.
Oh, nice. You guys are really excited about that.
We are really hoping this means 10% multiplicative, which would take it from five times to 5.5 times.
Right.
Instead of being at 10% additive, which would be five times to 5.1. It could be either one based on the way they wrote it. We're really hoping it's the former and not the latter, because the latter would be kind of useless.
Aren't all their changes, though, normally additive?
No, most percentage stuff is actually multiplicative, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So, if you look at all the legendaries and the conduits and stuff, if there's a percentage number mentioned somewhere, it's usually multiplicative.
All right, sorry, multiplies.
Yeah,
it just depends. we are hopeful that this will actually do things. This is not as big. This is not replacing the threat we had from Heart of Azeroth. It's about a third as much as that, but it is something. And then secondly, on the tank front, Blood Decay is getting damage buffs. We know that, and they are currently the lowest by a very large margin right now. So,
well, that's good. Good for them, I guess.
And then if you've been doing PvP, they said they're looking at PvP, but are not posting the notes for that yet. And that this is not a complete set of notes. So just because there is nothing in there right now for monks does not mean that there will not be. So
it's great. It's going to be awesome to get Monday night changes going.
Oh, yeah. It's going
to be great.
Yep.
That'll be fun. So awesome. Great. Any other changes or any other topics that happened in the last week before we start to talk about, I think next we're going to talk about the raid a little bit, but before we get into that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're getting too much loot and they're making a bunch of changes of the last, well, I always complain about the last minute changes, but like,
yeah,
they always do this. So it's like, I don't know why I'm upset about it.
This is why people have been waiting to craft their legendaries.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because these changes are coming in on Monday or like Monday night, Tuesday morning.
Right.
And so if you crafted a legendary, like let's say you're a warrior and you're deciding whether you want to play Fury or Arms.
Right.
And which one you're playing and crafting your legendary for depends on this tuning path. They don't touch the legendaries, you can still get screwed by crafting one.
We also have a warrior in our guild that's still like, I don't know which spec I'm playing. I don't know which legendary I'm playing. I don't know nothing at all right now.
Yeah. Our warrior was showing me some sims and their best legendary was like plus 100 DPS. I was like, I'm a tank. My best legendary is three times that.
We have a couple people in our raid that are actually still simming with one, their Heart of Azeroth equipped, which is still better than like 200 item level necks.
Jesus.
And also with old content potions, which are stronger than current content potions. Like our Demon Hunter and I think our Feral as well still sim higher with Unbridled Fury than with any of the DPS potions that came in Shadowlands. Which is just, I don't know what they fucked up on that part.
I was simming the Umbrella Fury versus the new Shadow Fire or whatever, Phantom Fire potions. The DPS difference for me is like 20.
Yeah. Jesus. But you can farm the Umbrella Fury a lot easier.
It's like, that's, 0.7% of my DPS, so it's not like it's nothing. But when Umbrella Fury potions are basically free, it kind of sucks.
Yeah. That's fine.
And you can also still get the Procky Boy and even make them even more efficient.
Yes.
Given that proc chance is basically non-existent in Shadowlands.
Yep.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so the raid opened this week. And I think the first thing that everybody noticed is that this was a lot harder than the heroic.
Okay, hold on.
Any tier in BFA. Like, no, straight up, this is harder than any of the heroic tiers in BFA. I think Anam is going to explain why.
Yeah, I mean, so they fucked up the tuning. Okay. So
I don't totally agree, but.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it was hard. It was harder because I think we ended up fighting a raid that was tuned for us probably having full normal gear, right? And even then,
yeah,
I think even full normal gear would have been difficult because you had, like, as an example, the second boss is Huntsman, whatever, I don't know, Attila?
Altamore.
Altamore, something with an A. I don't pay attention. But he has an ability called Sinseeker. Sinseeker is a target three players in your raid. I guess it's one player for, I guess it's maybe always three. But in any event, in like a 25 to 30 man raid, it's three players.
It's always three.
It's always three.
Okay, that was a tuning fuck up right there.
Yeah, okay. So if it's always three, then this makes it even worse. So it hits three players with a dot. It's like a 15 second dot that does 10,000 damage every 1.5 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. You only have like tanks have what? You probably have like 45, 50k-ish hit points, right?
As a brewmaster, I have that just a hair less than 40k right now, which
okay.
Really bad luck with loot. I'm still wearing my Heart of Azeroth, and one of my BFA weapons actually still sims higher because of the proc on it. So
Jesus. Okay, that's bad. But then
I'm not using it because
speaking about fucking tuning up.
at some point it becomes worth equipping, a 70 eye level upgrade. Just for the other stats on it, even if it sims worse, but yeah.
I mean, that's like, and we had mages in our guild that had 28,000 hit points, right? So like, if we weren't hitting a heal every 1.5 seconds, they were dying.
Yeah.
So like, it was, I mean, we actually killed it the first night before they made any changes, but it was like one of those things where we had a pull where we aligned where like the, the two hardest points were always around a transition point on this boss, mm-hmm. where like a new ad would come in. Really, the second ad was the worst, the one that had a heal thing. But we basically had to make sure that the Sin Seeker we got right as we transitioned was on at least two immunity classes or we wiped. Because we couldn't heal both the tank, the ad that came out, plus the person with Sin Seeker, plus the raid, because the ad that comes out does AoE damage, or we just died. So regardless of it being difficult, I get that, but I think
some tuning misses.
Yeah.
100%.
Because and then you have other changes that they make or they're going to make where it's like certain like healing buffs, like if you take Sun King, for example, the healing orbs that drop gave 50% healing buff to healers will now give 200%. Like, it's not a small change.
That's a very large change. And the pedestals on Kael'thas
heal for more too, right?
The way they were supposed to work is that they ramp up the amount of damage that they do to the player channeling with them, and also were supposed to ramp up the healing they did to Kael'thas. So you wanted to really sit there for all six stacks and get the full channel out so you could do maximum healing, and just like taking one stack would be really kind of bad. The healing it did was not ramping up.
I didn't realize.
So it was just doing, it was healing it for 3k a tick, and the first tick to you would do 3k damage. But then the next tick would do like 4.5, then 6k, then 9k. And so you would end up taking like triple the damage that you actually healed the boss for. And so the healers would have to heal you for triple the amount that they could have just healed the boss.
Right, yeah.
And like AoE healing is more efficient, but it's not that much more efficient.
No. No, I mean, healing, I mean, we ended up running, so we had 28 players. We ended up running six healers for basically every, we killed four the first night for every boss. And
yeah, same for us.
Yeah, and it was even, I mean, there were points in time where I was like, I don't know how many more buttons I can press. Like, I'm out of buttons. I'm like, as a Mistweaver, it's been a long time since I've been like GCD locked because of healing spells, right? And it's like, that's what it felt like. So it was, I mean, it was rough, and they've gone through a number of passes. I mean, I don't think we have to go through everything, but like,
yeah,
they changed Sin Shot, right? Sin Shot went from average damage is like 11 to 10k a tick on Tuesday to it's like four now, I think, in the logs I looked at on Thursday.
It's a lot less.
So it's over, you know, it's over half, you know, cut it in half. So,
yeah.
I mean, they missed the mark. I mean, I understand why they did it. They didn't want another Emerald Nightmare, right? Like, yeah. Or another, like, even Aldir to a certain extent was sort of a pushover on Heroic, right? So, I mean, they wanted, I think, something that was more difficult. They also, because they've changed the scaling between tiers now, like, you don't gain as much, I guess I would say, right?
It also, like, the amount of loot we get is lower, and that means that, like, when normal Nihilotha, well, that's a bad example. When normal Ulir came out, I had been doing a bunch of Mythic Plus. Like, I was close to, if not above, normal Ulir's eye level when the raid released. Or, you know, by the time our raid hours were. That's not how it works now.
No.
No, we have, like, three people hitting 200 item level just today in our raid.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm still stuck on 194, 195, something like that.
You. I'm 184 on my monk. I did two Mythic Zero leather stacks. And I've been doing keys. I'm almost up to the 10 keys for the weekly cash. And we did a full normal clear on Tuesday, which was supposed to be like this, like, optional just for fun thing. Mm-hmm. But then it turns out that was actually totally the smart thing to do for progression too.
Right, exactly.
Because then the other team in our guild, they started in heroic, and the next night they just went into normal and full cleared normal and came back and finished what they could on heroic with the time they had left, because they were going into heroic with people being like eye level 180. Which is 35 eye levels almost below what heroic drops.
Yeah.
Yeah, we also had that.
Yeah, and I think that's, to me, I didn't think it was that big of an issue until we started to get close to like the normal item level and like looking at the amount of like stats our team has, right?
Yeah.
It's not like heroic was overtuned. Like at the start, I was like, it's 30 eye levels difference. Like, it's a big difference. It's probably the largest difference you'll go into we've gone into a heroic raid at the start of an expansion with, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I put a lot of it, like, hey, this is probably why it's so hard, but like, 11k a tick, sort of hot, like dying yeah. someone that's not clearable, like you're not.
I do think
have...
there are a couple of bosses that they definitely missed the mark. Like Ultamore is a great one to look at. Kael'thas, like that fight was just buggy. It's still buggy. When we went in on normal on Tuesday, we went in and Kael'thas didn't despawn properly and kept us in combat. We got loot, but Prince Renathal wouldn't move to unlock the rest of the instance.
Oh, God.
So we had to run out and reset, and then we could do the rest of it. But the fight's buggy.
I still remember the last mythic testing they did on beta, like a week before the Shadowlands release.
Mm-hmm.
On Council of Blood, we were trying that out, and the first two fights we had, there's this, I think it's a mythic only ability actually, where you get these, like five people get three stacks of a debuff and you remove it by jumping.
Yeah.
And that debuff clearing hit for like 15k per stack
on mythic.
And we went into the mythic beta testing with five healers. We had to stack two spirit links, one barrier, and basically every single healing cooldown we had to barely survive the removal of that debuff.
And then it comes out again like 30 seconds later.
Yeah, exactly. And we were like, how are you supposed to do this? And then the next try, we were completely ready to pump our hearts out. And they stealth hotfixed it during the beta testing to like 5k per stack. So they basically reduced the damage it dealt to like one third of what it was supposed to be.
Right.
And we all felt like, how can you miss the mark by so much? Like, how can you completely underestimate the damage it's doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so for reference, my raid team's a weekend raid team. So our Tuesday raid is not a normal thing. We normally do some sort of like for fun off night activity on that night. And it was normal this week because usually that's a pushover. We hit Sludge Fist on normal before most people had even set foot in a Mythic Keystone. And
that was fun, probably.
Wow, that felt like an early Mythic boss, not a normal boss.
Sludge Fist was definitely hard, yes. We also, I mean, we killed him first try with a lot of limping.
Really?
Yes, with a lot of limping. But we had to pump our hearts out, and we had like an average item level of 186, 187, something around this, because a lot of people already did Mythic Plus on that day. It was quite a bit. Sludge Fist was not fun. I'm also not looking forward to it on Heroic, to be honest.
I'm actually kind of looking forward to it on Heroic. I'm probably 15 eye levels higher now.
Yeah. Well, they've changed the worst part about that fight, which was
falling
rubble, not being able to see, like, what designer, and I'm gonna call someone out here, I don't know who would design this fight, but what designer thought it was a good idea to put a spell in with black particle effects in a mostly gray room? Like,
it was awful to see.
It's black particle effects and it's white animation. So it's like literally black plus white is gray in a gray room with gray floors and a gray boss.
God, dude.
Yeah.
There was a point in time where like I was like, we had to mark one of our melee so that we knew where to stand, and that person's only job was like to check if you were taking damage. And like if that person took damage, it meant we had to move as a group because like nobody knew where to stand.
Yeah.
Like it was so bad.
The worst too is like you had circles overlapping circles. You'd be like, all right, I'm the edge of one circle, but really I'm still in another circle, and I can't see that circle's like cutting through the. Oh god, yeah. That and they seem to like spawn every half a second. So like,
yeah.
Even on normal, when we killed it with like a sliver of room left. Like,
yeah, that was the case.
When we killed it on normal, I was standing in the bed because I couldn't find a safe place to stand. I was just standing there. I had hit a cooldown. I was just like.
We were also absolutely
not moving. Moving is worse than not moving right now. I'm just going to stand in the fire.
We were also absolutely limping it. Like we were, I think we actually had 30 people in our normal raid, and we were like 8 people alive by the end of that fight. And we had this very, very tiny space at the entrance, all the way at the entrance of the room, because everything else was covered in rubble.
Yeah.
And I think if the fight had taken 10 seconds longer, we would have all died.
Yeah.
And that was, I'm still not sure if I want to have that fight on heroic or not.
Yeah. I mean, they did change it, right? So they changed the graphic now, and they changed.
They also reduced the spawn rate.
Yeah, the spawn rate. So it should be a little bit easier. But
I actually didn't notice that. I just noticed that they added an actual effect to it so that you could see it. I didn't see that they also changed the timing.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know that they needed both, but they definitely needed the animation change.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, when we did it, definitely like the big thing was people accidentally killing each other with the chains, you know. You do that, suddenly, you know, four raiders drop dead, and you're like, oh, guess that's a wipe.
Dude, I killed our DK. I killed our DK because I tiger, like, for whatever reason, I was like, all right, boss hit a pillar, got to move and do damage. So, like, I tiger left myself. Tigers
lusted and outran
him. I just ran off, and all of a sudden I died. I was like, I was like, who was I linked with? And I look at the thing, it's like our DK fluke. I'm like, oh, I was like, you didn't have a movement CD. He's like, I'm a DK. I was like, oh, okay.
I
was like,
I just before we started the fight, I just removed Chi Torpedo from my bars because I was 100% sure I'm going to muscle memory it when I've got this huge circle around the boss where he does the stomp. I was 100% sure I'm going to hit my Chi Torpedo, and I actually tried it. Like, I hit the button, and then I was wondering why I was not, like, chasing off.
Yep.
And I barely managed to survive because it threw me off so much that my character was not moving when I pressed my G-Torpedo.
Oh, it's so funny.
But that's still better than killing part of my raid. Because we actually had like four people just straight up dying. Because some warrior charged in and some DH rushed off. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not for the people who died, but for the rest.
Yep. So that's going to be fun. On Mythic is the first time that I will get chains, because they do not go on the tanks before that, which means that on Mythic, I will be having to take Roll off of my bars, take Soul Shape off of my bars, take Tiger's Lust off of my bars. My co-tank right now is a Vengeance Demon Hunter, because they're actually really good right now. And I used Soul Shape to get out of something, and all I heard was my co-tank going, that's going to get me killed on Mythic.
Nice.
It's just like in Nyalotha on Ilganov, where our raid leader just straight up told the healers to remove every single dispel from our bars, and our paladins, mages, rogues, everyone had to take cloak, divine shield, everything off their bars.
Yeah,
because it just actually killed us multiple times in Mythic when we did the no dispel strat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be like that again, probably, in Mythic Progress. At some point, our raid leader is going to tell us to just remove every single movement ability that we have from our bars.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to it.
But, you know, aside from Huntsman, and I haven't done Sludge Fist on Mythic or on Heroic yet, so I can't really comment on that one yet. That's the only other, like, tuning miss that I noticed early in the week.
Yeah,
or Ankylthos, but like we did 6 of 10 yesterday heroic,
nice.
And honestly, I like how they tuned it.
Same,
like, feels pretty good.
I definitely would not have liked it, you know, on Tuesday with Sin Seeker doing 30k damage in 4.5 seconds.
Right,
but I like it now. And I think I was skeptical a little bit of the reduced loot drop rate in general. Like, we already knew we were coming in with less loot being available, but this is better than Titan Forging.
100%.
Yes.
No doubt about it. I'm still skeptical of the reduced loot rate, but I'm 100% sure it's better than Corruption and Titan Forging.
I think the thing that feels worse for me, because like even in raid, you know, we kill the boss, we get, you know, what, 5 pieces of loot for 28 people, 26 people. And that's, you know, okay, even if I don't get something, I see other people got things. That's cool. It kind of sucks in Mythic Plus where you get like two pieces of loot.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, great. Especially when someone can't use that and they're like, I can't trade it. Sorry.
I actually had it myself that I was doing like Mythic Plus farming on Wednesday when the raid released. With Dana, I think it was plus six or something. I got a 197 helm. We timed it. We did the plus eight afterwards. I got a 200 helm. We did the plus 10 afterwards. I got a 203 helm. And I could not trade any of it because I just like upgraded by three item levels every piece. And that, triggered so me much. And it triggered my group. And I was like, dude, I would have given that helm away easily. Because for me, it wasn't a three item level upgrade. For someone else, it would have been like 13 because it was still wearing a 184 helmet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
They really. That's the biggest thing that I think needs changing is get rid of the trade restrictions on loot. Just let us trade the pieces.
And I already know it's going to trigger me so much in Mythic because we're going to wear rank 4 legendaries with 225 item level. And I'm going to loot a 226 helmet and I can't trade it. I know it already.
I think rank 4 is actually 235. Am I remembering that right?
No, it's 225 if I'm not mistaken.
So it goes 190, 210. Yeah, 190, 210, 225, 235.
Yeah, that might be. Yeah, but so in the first Mythic week, so basically
I can't trade. But you're not going to have a 235 next week, so.
No, so I basically can't trade. If I loot a helmet in Mythic, just by any chance, I'm not going to be able to trade it, even though it's just one item level upgrade. And I'm wearing a legendary piece. It's not even like I would trade that helmet off, because I'm not trading a 226 epic for a 225 legend. So it's basically a wasted item for me.
Yeah,
I have legendary boots on. And that's actually one thing. We looked at tuning on Heroic from people that were actually doing it on Tuesday. And we were like, you know what? We should have people craft legendaries so that we can clear Heroic this week. We're going to try. That's
also why I went for it, because I was like, okay, it's very unlikely that they nerf my Abyss legendary so hard that it's not going to be the best for me anymore. So I'm just crafted so we have an advantage in Heroic.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's what a couple of people did.
It is important as well. Like, if you're not in that kind of top 100, top 50 kind of scenario, the only real risk of crafting a rank one right now is being 1 week behind on your legendary if it gets gutted.
Yeah,
which isn't a huge deal.
Yeah, like being at rank three instead of rank four for a lot of specs is like 20 DPS, 30 DPS. It's noticeable. That is about 1% of my DPS, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I mean, going back to the loot issue real quick, that's like the worst part about personal loot is that it's not like getting items is cool, but like if I get an item that's like, even if it's like a 10, 12 item level upgrade, right? I'd much rather give that to a DPS class or like a class that can actually utilize it better than like me as a healer. So
I know it's going to feel bad. Like when we kill Sire Denathrius and I get a weapon token and I can't trade that weapon token.
Yeah.
That's going to feel bad.
Yeah. It's going to be, cause like the weapons, I mean, for a healer, it's great to get like for anybody, it's great to get loot. But like the idea that like, if I get a perfectly statted item for another class, I'd rather trade that than like me use it as like suboptimal or like, you know.
Yes. Especially when it comes to rings and necks where there's not even main stat on it. Right. Like if I'm using like a 200 ring with my Biss stats, I would and I loot a 226 ring with like haste mastery. I don't want that, even though it's 26 item levels above the one I'm wearing. I do not want it, but I can't trade it away to someone who, like for example, a Resto Druid or whatever haste mastery also uses. Like I can't trade it away to them, and it's basically just rotting in my back.
Yeah.
Or at the worst case, I'm just going to vendor it for like 130 gold. Yay, value.
Right. I got a socketed ring from Jade Fire Masters in BOD that I got in a sales run during Eternal Palace that I used until last week.
Yeah, just nice. Just like that.
Nice.
I don't know. This loot restriction.
I got a lot of mileage out of that sales run.
Yeah, I mean, you killed it there. So that's funny. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the loot, it's a terrible system. I mean, not terrible, but hopefully they understand that, like, it's
got limitations.
I've had more issues with this than it's like people stealing loot from me in like pug runs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this has been more of an issue of like.
Okay, a little bit of soapbox here. So, yeah. Classic is much more of a social kind of casual game, right? Classic has master loot and group loot and all these other, like, free-for-all loot. It has all of the loot options. Apparently, it's not a problem there.
I mean Nintendo looting has always been a problem in World of Warcraft.
It's always been a thing, and, like, people being shitty and not giving their trials loot has always been a thing that bad guilds led by bad raid leaders do.
Right, yeah.
It's just, but I mean, like,
it punches everyone out.
We made, you know, legendary base items for our raiders, and we had two new trials that were starting with us this year. And one of them had already bought theirs before they joined us, so that we didn't make one for him, but we offered. And the other one, we made him a base item. Like, and that's,
it's the same for us. Yeah, it's just,
if you're not,
I don't know,
treating your trials like full raiders, you shouldn't be raid leading, period.
I also don't know why Blizzard is taking this approach. Like, they're basically punishing 99% of the player base to make it right for the 1%.
Yeah.
And the 1%, I mean, I do not endorse this kind of, like, trials are lesser raiders than actual raiders. But if you sign up for a guild that has that kind of system, you're basically kind of in. I know that there's a lot of guild limitations in terms of, it's not always up to you to choose, because you have to just find that one guild that raids at exactly the times you need it.
Yeah.
But there's so many guilds out there that are searching for raiders, that are searching for good people. If you're not a tank, I know that tanks have basically very limited choice of guilds. Mm-hmm. But if you're not a tank, you have so many options. Just don't sign up for these guilds. Show them that the system sucks. And I still don't know why Blizzard is punishing those 99% just for the sake of the one. Yeah. It's just such a sucky system. I liked it in Legion, where you had the choice. You could choose Master Loot, or you could choose Personal Loot. It was good for parks, it was good for guilds. The only thing that maybe you could say had a huge advantage of it are, like, the hardcore guilds that are doing, like, 5-6 split raids a week.
I think that's actually, it's better for them now because of stacks. You couldn't do stacks before, because when you had Master Loot, it would drop just loot in general. It didn't pay attention to your raid comp or anything. You could bring 30 leather wearers and still get cloth gear.
Exactly. Yeah. And even then, I don't know, they are always arguing with this, like, yeah, we don't want hardcore guilds to do, like, 6 splits a week and get all the loot and be, like, unfair to other players. How is it unfair to me when they put a lot of work in their characters and get their loot distributed evenly? That's not unfair to me. Like, how they get their loot and how they distribute their loot does not affect me in any way, shape, or form. I don't get this whole argumentation behind it. And it's actually kind of making me mad.
Yeah, no, it's a hot button topic for sure. So, so cool. Yeah, yeah. I mean, loot systems, I think, just stink right now. But...
Before we move on to the next section, though, I do want to ask, of the bosses you've done so far, what has been your favorite boss?
I think, Mimir, you can take the first stab at this one.
Yeah, I wanted to say the same to you, but okay, I'm going to start. I mean, I've killed all of them on normal, so I would just take all of them into account now. I'm actually a big fan of Ultimo, to be honest. I think the fight is a good fight. It has all the different damage patterns. I mean, I'm going from the viewpoint of a healer right now.
Yeah.
It has a good bit amount of, like, the first phase has good spot healing. You have a, like, rather tight healing check on the people who get the debuff. It's not mechanically too difficult, but it's also not a pushover. It's not like a patchwork fight.
Right.
The second phase is rather challenging, even with the with getting the adds under control, healing the shade of the tank. And the third is just a base of damage raise against the damage that the debuff is doing. I think it's a good fight. And also like the end boss, actually. I think the Naphreus is a very well fight, a well-rounded fight. It has three different phases.
Yeah.
That have everything you want from a fight. You have you need a good mechanical and tactical setup for the first phase. You have adds in the second phase. You have a tight healing check, especially on the first and the third phase. And it just looks cool. Like the Naphreus with his like huge ass sword that's trying to massacre you all the time. It's just an amazing looking fight. I think the raid in general just looks amazing. But they really took the cake on the end boss. I'm a huge fight of the Naphreus. Fan of the Naphreus.
I'm going to shout out again. If you have not watched Castlevania on Netflix and you really like the vibe of Castlevania, you should go and watch Castlevania.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say I think for me, it's been Artificer has been sort of the probably the best fight for me. I love the portals. I think it's such a cool mechanic. I liked the portals on Rostakan and BOD, which you had a little bit less control over what they did, but being able to place them was cool. So I like sort of fights where, as a player, you get to sort of choose how you respond to a tactic or how you respond to like what the encounter is throwing at you. Like we've talked a little bit about like Siegecrafter in Siege as being like one of probably my favorite fights all time. So I really enjoy that. Sire, I mean, look, the Naphreus was always going to be good because of one thing that it does. Do you guys know what that is? Every good fight has this. You fall through a floor.
Okay.
Every good fight, if you fall, every fight, think of any fight in World of Warcraft that you've done where you've fallen through a floor, it's a good fight.
Blackhanded it twice.
Blackhand, yep.
Twice
Blackhand.
Is good.
Blackhand, that's why it's one of the best ones. But you fell through the floor in Fallen Avatar. It was a good fight. The end of Legend. I don't think, was there any floors in BFA?
Argus did not, you did not fall through a floor on Argus.
You got teleported.
Argus picked you up off the ground and threw you back onto the floor. And that counts.
That counts. Yes. So yeah, so but no, I think Sire's cool. The level change is cool. I mean, I would say that I have some issues with Denathrius. I think he's actually easier than, at least on Heroic. He looked at least easier as an end boss in terms of like the complexity of the mechanics there. But I haven't done him yet, so I can't do this from experience. But
yeah.
at least on normal mode, like it seemed pretty simple of like a little bit of a dance. The one problem with Denathrius I have on normal, or really that his one ability, what's the one that picks you up in the air and does damage to you?
Oh yeah.
That I know which one you mean.
Yeah, something pride maybe. I don't like that because, or blood price. Because it pushes you back and there's a stomp right after that. So you literally, if you're not in the right position, you cannot recover, which I guess is probably the point. It's just, I wish it just picked you up and put you down. Not that it like picked you up and then like tossed you lightly backwards.
just transcended.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, whatever. I mean, yeah, so I'd have to set up and think ahead. It would be bad, but no, I mean, I think
I know it's hard. Yeah,
but I think Artificer in terms of like pre-Denathrius boss has been my favorite to do. So
yeah. I actually want to add to that, it is probably one of the first raids I ever played where I genuinely do not dislike any of the fights. Like in every single raid so far, there's always been that at least one boss, Nyalofa had four of them, that I genuinely did not like at all, where I dreaded going to it. Mm-hmm. And Castle Nafria doesn't have that. Maybe Sludge Fist, but it's still a cool fight. It's probably just going to be a bit annoying, but it's still a cool fight. And I think that's what makes the raid actually pretty cool. And I'm really looking forward to progressing it on Mythic, because there's no fight at all so far where I say I do not want to do it.
Yeah. It's such a tough question. Like, what's your favorite fight, right?
Yeah, what's your favorite fight, Emelson?
I have a hard time. Like, I want to say Artificer for some reasons. But honestly, the way the Artificer panned out for tanking it is actually really, really simple. You roll out with your debuff, let it explode, and you roll back. Yeah. It's not that hard. You don't get to do any of the other portal mechanics, and there's actually a really bad overlap where the tank mechanic that you have to go out with.
Yes, we have encountered
that. Same time as the axe explodes in phase 3. And so you cannot use the portal to get out of the axe. And I did not know that is going to happen before we reached that point. So
we have encountered that point as well. And our raid, our guild lead is one of our main tanks, and he was very much cursing about it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I tried to roll out and like soul shape out and ended up getting clipped by the axe anyway. And it's definitely something that can be outplayed, but they caught me so totally off guard that I was not prepared for it.
You just probably have to Zen med it in the end.
Maybe. But I would probably go with Zyre Denathrius. Like Huntsman's actually up there because of just the number of different things to do as a tank. It's kind of fun. Unless you're the boss tank. Sorry, Zay. Who's my co-tank and got on boss tank duty. But Zyre Denathrius just has a lot of stuff. You know, every phase is different. Every phase has stuff going on. The positioning requirements, especially like phase 2, I love things where you get to point the boss at an added, it blows it up. Zyre Denathrius lets you do that. You point him at a Cabalist, and he does his big swing, and suddenly that Cabalist is real dead.
Wait, that works?
Yes.
Yeah.
He does friendly fire.
Oh, Jesus.
So it does some damage to it. It makes it take 30% more damage.
Somebody probably said that in my raid. I don't pay attention to
damage. It's pretty cool.
You're just a healer. You just heal stuff.
It's just got, like, every single phase has its own thing for the tank to do. It's been a long time that it feels like, and actually Huntsman has that same thing. Every single phase has something different for the tank to do.
Yeah.
Like phase 1 is just a simple taunt swap. Phase 2, there's the Rip Soul mechanic, which is a Brewmaster mechanic. And then phase 3 has the thing where you gotta like stop, go with the boss in order to drop stacks. And like every phase has something different for the tank to do. And that's how Zyre Denathrius is as well. And, I like having actual things to do. It's nice.
It happens so rarely as a tank.
Nihilotha was really bad about it.
Yeah, Nihilotha was very bad in many things.
Yes, for sure. So cool. Oh, shoot, I had one other point I wanted to make, and I forget it now.
Oh, I'm sure we can come back to it.
Yeah, we can circle back if it gets back in my head, so...
Just one half an hour from now, and I'm just like, wait a second.
Wait.
There's more.
Yeah. No. Anyway, I'm done. We're done. I'm done. Sorry. I don't have it. The raid's good. Oh, that's what it was. So the other thing, so you talk about tanks having something different to do. Healers have to heal boss frames, which is something we've done like here and there, but there's like two or three fights, or there's two.
Does it? Kael'thas does it.
Yeah.
I feel like there's one more that has a mechanic where you got to do it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think off the top. Those are the two big ones. But yeah, we actually have to heal the boss frames, which I didn't realize, but it becomes an issue on Kael in that you can push boss frames off. So you only get like 5. So, yeah. Like, if a bunch of adds spawn on Kael as I'm trying to heal an Essence Font, the Essence Font just disappears.
I've had that happen. Yeah. I've had that happen, too. I'm working with mouse over macros for healing, and I just tried to mouse over the frame, and then suddenly there's an enemy where I wanted to heal the Essence Font, and my Vivify just goes, like, out of the window. I've had that happen, too. Yes, I feel your point.
Yeah, that was the other... That was my other point, is that, like, it's been just weird to heal boss frames, I'll say, or at least pay attention to them. So I definitely had to enable them in my UI, like the second pull on Huntsman. So
really, you're not playing with boss frames enabled?
No, I was not.
Oh, okay.
I didn't need to know the boss HP.
Yeah, I don't need to know the boss HP. And if I do, I'll just target it real quick. So
that's okay, that's a fair point, I guess. No, I just like having them up there just to know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I live in unit frames that are not boss ones, so well, boss is whatever, man. Somebody else will take care of it for me. So.
But how do you know when you pulled off that 0.4% wipe if you haven't had boss frames enabled?
Oh, someone will come and
someone will face that. Or like my bigwigs prints what I wiped at the bottom of my chat
window. Yeah, all right, yeah, that also happens.
Yeah, now somebody will be screaming about like hit damage buttons or like healers do damage. I'm like, oh, I guess I should target the boss now and hit it. So,
why didn't you touch of death?
Yeah, well, gosh, nah, now they're gonna yell at me for that.
Yeah, you should use that. That does big damage.
No, I did. I tried to use it on. I used it on ads on Kale actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just so I could steal the healing debuff faster, buff faster. Sorry.
Okay, you know. the reason doesn't matter. The important thing is you touch a death at.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So cool. Any other final stuff on the raid before we jump into our main topic for tonight? Or I guess our co-main topic.
Yeah.
So cool. So yeah, I think the what we wanted to cover today ultimately was sort of go over heroic Nathria, our progress in there, and then also talk to Mimir here about essentially, a lot of like the non-English or, you know, German resources that are out there for World of Warcraft. So, you know, really, I think.
Sorry, go ahead.
What'd you say?
I love the way you said that. You made it sound like non-English just meant German.
Well, yes, the German, two
languages, English and German.
I mean, that's American
the Deutsch, man.
Yeah, that's true. That's a typical American. Like, there's only one other area outside of America, and that's not America, right? So, like, it's the way I view the world. Oh God.
I mean, that's so how my world works. There's English, and then there's German.
Yeah, exactly. Only the two. But no. So I think we just wanted to sit down and sort of just, I mean, ultimately just sort of have a conversation about like how you've gotten information. About the game, like really talk a little, like, so I had some interesting questions about the in-game differences in like just the client itself, which I don't know if you play on a German client or not. If you don't, this section's gonna be really short, but if you do, I have some couple of good questions. And if not, like the other thing is just on the actual resources, right? Like what you're doing at Peak, like if there's anything else out there that is similar to Peak, or, you know, if the resources that are out there are aligned, like everybody uses Wowhead or, you know, not Wow, I don't, Icy Veins, sorry, and other things like that. So that's what we're talking about. Right.
Nam is just all in on the dichotomies. You either use Wowhead or you use not Wowhead.
It's just binary. Wowhead and not Wowhead.
It's been a very long week.
Okay, I'll cut you some slack.
Yeah.
So yeah, to get into the first topic, I actually do not use the German client. I can still try to answer your questions if you want to. I did some research on the German client, obviously, especially now for the translations. So you can post your questions. I don't know if I can answer them, but I will definitely try my best.
That's a long time, Mimir, right? Did you grow up playing on the German client and switch to the English one?
Yes.
Okay.
I took a break in Pandaria, and before that I was like, I think I was 14, 15 when Cataclysm ended, something around this. And obviously I was playing on a German client until then. And then I took a break for Pandaria. And when I came back in Wallets of Draenor, I actually started getting into like semi-progress raiding, taking this whole thing a bit more serious. And that's by that point, I actually started switching to the English client, because the reason I did that has also to do with my work here, so to say, because I realized there's a big lack of resources for Germans, and so I basically had to get all my resources, like boss guides, class guides, simulations and stuff like that, on English. And I just grew tired of trying to translate all the abilities that they mentioned in guides and stuff into German. So I just switched to the English client. And so I've been playing with German until Cataclysm, and then I switched somewhere in the middle of Wallets of Draenor somewhere.
Yeah. Do you remember any, especially as you were starting to compare things with like guides, were there any translations, kind of snafus that you remember, mistakes that are funny in hindsight and annoying at the time?
I wouldn't necessarily call it a mistake, but something that actually outraged a lot of the German community was when they started translating names and stuff into German. It was happening sometime around, I think, Lich King, where they actually started translating names of like cities, characters, all that stuff into German. And so Ironforge, Stormwind, all that stuff got translated into German, and it just caused a huge outrage actually in the German community, because everyone was like, these are names. They can stay in English. We don't want them in German. And it was a huge meme for like a couple of years that everybody was, for example, just still using the English names and also the English abbreviations. For example, like Ironforge was still IF. And I think that's still to this day that a lot of people are still using IF for Ironforge instead of ES, which would be the German abbreviation. And yeah, it's not necessarily like an error or a mistake, because they actually translated the names quite well, but it's still something that is rather frowned upon among the German player community, because they just felt it was completely unnecessary. Especially the people that grew up with like Warcraft 1, 2, and 3 and always knew great names like Malfurion Stormrage, Illidan Stormrage, Jaina Proudmoore, all the big names also got translated into German, and everyone was like, what the hell is this? We don't want this.
Yeah.
And I'm also a huge defender of that stance up to this day, because I still think it's completely unnecessary to translate names like this into German.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, that was always my question, is that because I've traveled to Europe a few times, and it's been very easy to like converse with people because everybody generally speaks English. So as like someone who primarily speaks English, it's been easy. So I was always wondered, like from a game perspective, particularly like WoW today, like do most people internationally play in English, like in the English client, or do they leverage sort of those translations? So it's interesting that it sounds like a lot of people like just use the English version, right? Because it's probably what they've either grown up with or, you know, sort of always known. So easier to, I think, talk internationally too, right?
It's also what I've been doing for basically a decade now, that I've just, I consume basically every media that is available in English at least if it's the original language. I think the best example is the Netflix series. I don't know if you know it. It's called Dark. That's a German production.
German language.
It's a German production, so obviously the original is in German, so I watched it in German. Because I think it's just, for me, it's just more authentic to consume things in their original language, as long as I speak the original language. Like, for example, things like The Witcher, I haven't played it in Polish, obviously. But yes, often there's just those tiny things that get lost in translation, which is not necessarily often a mistake of the translators. It's just a thing that's happened by how language works. Like certain puns get lost, certain things just can't be translated properly because there's just no phrase for it in German. For example, while I was doing my research on the Mistweaver talents and the abilities and stuff, there's a lot of things that actually hit the mark quite well. Like they are just literal translations of the English abilities. Mm-hmm. But there's also some things like, for example, the tank talent. I think it's called Bob and Weave or something.
Yeah.
There's just no German translation for it. So they tried a workaround, which did not really work well, in my opinion. but I'm not going to lie, I wouldn't know how to translate it better. Because Bob and Weave is just, that's just a phrase that you use in English, but I wouldn't know how to describe it in German, honestly.
Yeah, it's like it's a phrase. It's about boxing. You do your bob and your weave.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's an idiom. How do you translate it?
Yeah, there's literally no real translation for it in German, and so it's a big it's a diversity. So some things are really well translated because you can literally just translate them word by word. Uh-huh. And then remove the spaces between it because Germans don't like spaces. it's actually funny. For example, Black Ox Brew is just a 20-letter word in German. It's quite a thing.
That's the one thing I love about the German language is it's generally very literal as you like do the translations, where it's literally just like this word means this, this word means this, and if they
put them together,
and then like you have the German word. So
yes, that's exactly how German works in a lot of times.
Yeah. Very cool.
But yeah, then there's also just some abilities or some phrases that you can't really translate, and then they have to do a very wonky workaround.
Yeah.
I've noticed that on a quite few of abilities and talents, and also on the soul binds, there's also some very interesting soul bind names that I do not want to talk about in German. For okay. example, just the literal translation of conduit in German is an absolute mess. Because in German they are called, if you translate it back to English, they are called soul bind media. So they took one word into three words in German. And then just also remove the spaces between them and put them in one word. Some things just do not work very well in German.
Yeah. Are there any, I mean, you mentioned the bob and weave one, but are there any like notable translations or like different, like either it's an item or it's a specific ability that are like this is either more interesting or just cooler, or just something you've sort of like sticks out in your mind in terms of like as you've done your research from a translation perspective? Because I gave the example of Thunder Fury. So Thunder Fury, I think, is a very cool German translation where it's I guess you would pronounce this like Donnerzorn.
Donnerzorn.
Donnerzorn. Yeah, which I think is just a lot cooler than Thunder Fury, but at least personally.
Yeah, I think that's a very like personal taste question, because gotcha. in my eyes the English translation almost always sounds better. Okay. The German words just sound very weird to me sometimes, and I've noticed I actually get into the habit of like imitating an English speaking person that just completely pronounces German words wrong when I try to mock them. No, it's just in general when I try to mock the German translation of something, I try to imitate a native English speaker mocking German words.
Gotcha.
I think that's just a personal taste question, but I personally wouldn't answer. I wouldn't say that any German translations sound better than the English originals.
Gotcha. Okay.
Sorry to disappoint you.
No, that's fine. I was just looking for a little tidbit, but fair enough. Well, cool. I mean, I don't think I have anything else on like the in-game stuff. Because there's not, I guess the only other question would be, is there's not like a difference in terms of like the actual like gameplay or graphics itself, right? Because like you have the Chinese client, of course, there's no skeletons. They remove that from the Chinese client from a WoW perspective, but there's not anything like that German and...
As far as I'm aware, there's not, no. I think the actual client is literally just translation stuff.
Yeah.
There's no model changes or anything like that. At least not as far as I'm aware. I've read your note on it, and I did some research, and I also couldn't find anything about it.
Gotcha. Cool. Awesome. All right. Well, I think then try and pivot a little bit towards like more the resources side of things. So, I mean, I guess the easiest one to start with is like, how'd you end up like finding Peak, I guess would be the thing. Is like, I know you started playing WoW, you know, when you were very young, but like, have you played Monk for a while? Have you been in Peak for a while? I guess like, how'd you end up here, basically?
Yeah, I guess the journey in quotation marks starts like the end of Legion, when I try to like get back into raiding and also PvPing more competitively, so to say. Because I tried my hands on it in Warlords of Draenor for one tier in Hellfire Citadel, and then basically just immediately left it again because I was in a completely toxic guild at that time. It was really not fun. The raiding itself was fun, but the social aspect to it was just horrible. Mm-hmm. And then when I, like, I think sometime around when Anturus released, I was like, okay, I want to try my hands on this whole raiding competitively thing again. And then I found out that there's class discords. And I started moving my way around them. And I think it was the Death Knight Discord back then where I started really getting into this whole, oh, Jesus, there's a whole bunch of resources. There's class discords, there's simcrafts, there's like whole channels dedicated to how things work out in theory. And basically ever since I started really getting into a class, the first thing I do is going to Icy Veins, finding out how the class Discord link is, and immediately get on there and just inhale all the resources. And basically that's how I got into Peak as well. I played a Mistweaver for the first time in Battle of Dazar'alor. Because, funnily enough, I was always thinking that Monk is the least interesting class to me. Because
you're
really
not the only one, because we're only like 1% of the population or something.
Yeah, it's really like when they got released in Pandaria, first of all, I took a whole break from Pandaria because I did not like the aesthetics of that expansion. I just wasn't into this whole panda Chinese Asian stuff at all. And that's also why I completely skipped on Monk for a long time. And then after Uldia, I was like, I kind of tried every healer class now and still haven't really found my edge, so to say. And I was like, just kid, bought a 60 euro character boost and boosted my Monk. And I fell in love with it basically immediately. And yeah, that's also how I got into the Peak then. Played Monk in Battle of Dazar'alor and in Eternal Palace. I swapped to Shaman actually for Nyalotha because I had to try and find a new guild let's say drastically. My old guild in Eternal Palace turned out to be a bunch of racist. I'm not gonna say it.
Yeah.
They were not very nice people. And I basically just joined them like 3 or 4 weeks before that. And I was very happy to have a guild for 8.3. And then
I got ripped out from LDE.
Yeah, like it was not even a week before 8.3 dropped. And we had a huge discussion about, migrants and stuff like that. And they all, like a bunch of people, 10, 15 people of that, they knew each other IRL and they all turned out to be like very unnice people.
Yikes.
Yeah.
And so I left the guild and I was like, okay, guess I gotta find a new home in like 3 days now. And I basically just applied for every guild on WoW Progress that fit my raid times. And the one I ended up in then was just searching for a healing shaman. And so I was like, okay, guess I'm gonna play Rest of Shaman for 8.3. Nice. Also because, let's be honest, Mistweaver wasn't looking very good in 8.3 until the Rising. Until the Rising Mist thing happened.
Oh God, dude. So
it's okay. Odds are very high, or odds are very low of you actually getting the corruption you needed for it. So
yeah.
Probably you didn't miss anything.
Yeah, it's there was that. And at the end of Nyalotha I said, look at it. I like Charmin 4 of Tyr. I do not like how they are shaping up to be in Shadowlands because there's basically zero changes apart from Earth Shield being baseline.
Right.
And so I asked my healing officer if I could switch back to Mistweaver. And luckily enough for me, the beta turned out that Mistweaver's actually looking quite good. And so she said, yeah, go for it. And that's how I ended up back on peak. And I was like, I think I'm going to like lock in Mistweaver now as my character, even though it might get me benched for a while. And then I started realizing again that there's literally zero resources on like actual high-end raiding, so to say, in German. And I just started thinking about what it would take to make the resources that Peak has, because I think out of all the Discords that I've seen, Peak actually has the most detailed database. At least on Mistweaver, I can't speak for the other specs, but if you look at it, how many like advanced and in detail guides there actually are on the mechanics behind Mistweaver, for example, on renewing mist, on how soothing mist works. There's whole articles dedicated to all the hidden mechanics behind the spec. And I was just impressed by the raw number of research that has gone into like explaining for other people how the spec works. And then I realized there's nothing like this in German. Like, you have some very basic guides in German on how to play Mistweaver. They are also factual wrong, but they at least exist. But there's nothing like this in detail. They don't explain the hidden mechanics anywhere. And I'm part of a few German Facebook groups, for example. So that's basically the whole German community, mostly still assembles on Facebook instead of like Discord servers and stuff like that. And there's questions about how to play this class and how to play that class every single day. And then I just always realized that there's no real good guides that you could recommend properly to speak to people not speaking English. And the people who do speak English are often always already aware where to look. Like, if you just do an English Google search for, like, say, Mistweaver guide, you immediately find Wowhead, you find Icy Veins, you find maybe even Noxus or stuff like that, and obviously also Peak. But if you do a German guide, the things you find are often either outdated, plain up wrong, or very questionable. Like, there's four big sites on in German that actually cover World of Warcraft as a whole. I've actually looked it up for the podcast today, just as a like spot example for Mistweaver, because that's obviously the spec I know the most about. One of them is still on 8.2. Like, their latest guide is still for 8.2. Yeah. The other one is very, very generic. So it just says what is changing in Shadowlands, but not like any talent recommendations or how to play. And the third one is also like that. And the fourth one is just plain up. I don't want to say wrong, because it's not necessarily wrong, but it's very, like, they list the one cookie cutter talent build, one cookie cutter conduit, one cookie cutter legendary. And at least if you follow the like resources that the Peak has, they're just not the best as they say it's the best. For example, the legendary they recommend is still Yulon's Whisper as the best in all situations. They don't even like throw a spotlight on the other legendaries. They just say, Yulon's Whisper is the best, that's it. They don't compare them, they don't rate them for like different fields of use. They don't say why it's the best. Mm-hmm. They just say it's the best, and that's it. And they also just list that one talent setup as, that's the best in all situations, go for it. And that includes life cycles and miswrap. as recommendations, for example, and then it's also recommending Jade Serpent Statue and Upwelling. Like they don't even shine a light upon Rising Mist, for example, or Chiji, or Refreshing Jade Wind, for that matter. And that's the case for at least most of the specs when I looked at it, like at least the specs where I just still have a semi-clue of what to do.
Right.
And I think that's just the state of the German community. Like, it's always been very binary, I want to call it. Like, German people are either casual or very competitive about the game. And the very competitive people are usually the people who also speak English and have access to the to the actual resources that are available in English. And the casuals that still want to look up guides and look at, like, how do I play my class properly? They maybe don't want to, like, read 5,000 articles about it, but I think they should at least deserve a look. This is what you have. This is what you can go for. And I think it deserves to be right. Like, at least it deserves to be well-researched and actually factually right, and not just throw something out there so the people have something and we generate clicks. Because how I think the most sites work. And yeah, I just want to, like, that's why I started thinking about translating the resources, because I think that it sounds very bad, but I can't put it anything else. Like, even the casuals deserve to get well-researched resources on how to improve their gameplay if they want to do it. Because if they go to Google and search for Mistweaver Guide, but in German, I think they deserve an answer that is well-researched and funded on actual facts and not just there for generating clicks.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was a long monologue.
No, you're good. You're good. That was really good. I mean, it gave a good background of, like, sort of why you're getting into this, like the fact that it just sounds like there's not anything from, like, if you're a native, like if you don't speak English, right, it sounds like as a German player, like you really have nothing to go on in terms of, like, any sort of, like, deeply, either like deep researched like information or just anything beyond like a high level, like cliff notes or explain like I'm five to sort of, you know, description of how to play the class. So I think it's really cool. I think it's really interesting in terms of like what you're trying to do here. Cause I think it'll be helpful, right? To sort of get a lot of this information into German, right? So no, it's definitely a really cool thing. Like I'm super excited. Like I was excited when you sort of came in and wanted to help out, you know. So yeah, I'm all for this. I guess one question I have is in terms of like the actual translation activities. Like what is like sort of the most annoying, I would say, thing that you have to go through in terms of like translating an article? Because to be fair, I've never had to do this, but like I would imagine there are like certain things you have to like sort of do that are just like absolutely like I hate doing this like every time. So is there anything like really annoying about it?
Yes, I don't have to even think twice about answering that question. It's definitely getting the German names of the spells. Because, for example, when I was doing the like State of the Mistweaver in beta article, I had to actually use the English names for abilities and stuff because they weren't available in German yet. Mm-hmm. I tried finding... I have to use Wowhead for that. So Wowhead, if you are on a spells page and you click the language option and change it to German, if the spell is available in the German database, it actually shows you that spell in German. That's basically how I translated all the spells. I put up a Google sheet for like every single spec, for conduits, for legendaries, for the soulbind abilities, and it literally takes, I would say it took me a good 10 to 15 hours to fill up that Google sheet just with translations. So that I have listed the English name so that I can actually search for it, because I definitely do not remember all the German names on the top of my head. I have to put in the English name, then I have to go to Wowhead, search for that spell, put up the English name, put up the change the language, put up the German name into the sheet, and then I also copied the German link into it so that I can have all the hyperlinks for the German spells available at one place in case I need to enter them or paste them into the translation sheet. Mm-hmm. But then every now and then there's also like non-monk abilities that I have to put in there, like Bloodlust or enchantments or things like that. And I have to look them up again and then I have to put them into my sheet again. It's just that's definitely the most annoying part about it.
Especially
as long as the beta was still out, because the beta was only available in English, I had to use the English names when I was writing the state of the art of the beta article and also the pre-patch article for some instances, because we already put like what are the best enchantments and stuff like that in Shadowlands in it, but they were not available in German yet. So I had to wait. Shame on me. I still haven't replaced the English names yet. Need to do that. But yeah, that was definitely annoying. So I couldn't use the German names already. For some things, I could have vaguely guessed how they will translate it, but that's also not really the best option. And so I had to make a disclaimer on every section, like, the English names will be replaced, don't worry, just use the English names for now. And then I had to use the English names in German sentences as well, which made up for some very weird constructions that I had to use.
any instances, especially I would imagine with the enchantments, which are like multi-word things, are there anywhere... You know, there's a conflict between like a German word and an English word where they're same letters, but they mean different things, you know, in the same sentence where you've got an enchantment in a German sentence?
Nah, not really. The only issue I actually ran into was like actually finding a proper translation for some English, for some English phrases, because, for example, things like global, it's basically just an abbreviation for global cooldown. And I had to find a proper German translation for it, because sometimes it's also just used as a, like, I can't really say what it is. I'm not a linguist.
It's like a synonym for, like, we'll throw out global GCD.
Yeah, it's just sometimes it's used in a very weird way, and I simply cannot translate it word to word in English. Or also stuff like stats or DR, or especially diminishing returns. I, to this date, have no idea what diminishing returns means in German. I always paraphrase it as well as I can. Because at least I haven't found any proper German translation for it. That's also just a problem of not many resources being available in German. So no one ever had the need to come up with a German word for diminishing returns. So there is just none, because it's at least to my knowledge, it's just a phrase that is used in gaming.
It's used in mathematics too, but
okay, maybe
most people run into.
That's a good thing to know. Maybe I need to look there. But yeah, it's just I wouldn't know how to translate it from the top of my head. I'm also not a professional translator, obviously. So I've just always had to paraphrase it, and that happened to me with a couple of things where I sat there and was like, I know 100% what it means in English. I could explain it, but my explanation would take like 2 to 3 sentences, and I can't put 2 to 3 sentences into every time I have to translate this word.
Yeah.
So I have to paraphrase it somewhere, and it's just horrible. But I think I've managed to do it quite well so far. I'm actually going to look into the mathematics thing with diminishing returns, maybe find something there.
Then maybe you can find something.
Yeah, maybe I can find something there. But yeah, stuff like that just comes up when you have like basically tried to translate very specific phrases that are only used in that one field, and that one field isn't very well researched in German. So basically I have to come up with stuff on my own.
Yeah. I mean, like, you're essentially, excuse me, like defining the almost defining common phrases that like most people in like in essentially in English, there is like that common understanding that like, excuse me, hold on. Where like, if you say like DR or like diminishing returns, like it's very much, or like, I guess DR is actually damage reduction, but like,
it's both, yes.
Yeah, but like there's certain like phrases and things like that, that are very like common, right? That is, as a community, we've sort of like settled on like, this is what this means, this is what that means, right? Even though in terms of like, maybe even the English translation, it doesn't align completely, right? Like mob or aggro or...
Yeah, there's some really awkward ones, even in English. If you ever tried to explain to someone in English why we call them bobs.
Aggro
is a little bit easy. It's an abbreviation of aggression. Like they're being aggressive towards you. It's not great, but you can like follow the line of thinking. But
aggro is actually not a big thing in German because the actual in-game client uses just a literal translation of threat for it. And that's actually quite an easy thing. But for example, if you use the word global, that's actually the perfect example because it's used quite a lot in the Mistweaver articles. Abe loves that word. and you can't really translate it because one global is just a measurement of time in World of Warcraft environments. But the literal translation for global cooldown is actually like, if you would translate it back into English, it would be global cooldown time. And so you can't just use one global cooldown time as a of a time in German. And you also can't just say one global because it would sound very weird in German if you just use the literal translation of it. So you always have to like paraphrase it somehow, because both things are not very elegant if you use them. So yeah, that's actually one of the most common problems I've run into, like trying to find a paraphrase for the word global. I need to tell Abe to stop using that word so much.
Yeah. Make the translations easier. Stop using the word global.
Yeah, please.
And the GCD is banned.
Yeah.
GCD. Yeah.
So it sounds like from a from a resources perspective, the biggest need that there is just for guides. You know, for good, clear, detailed guides.
Yes, 100%. Especially on classes. Like, as I've said in Worlds of Draenor, when I started playing on the English client, there was also not a whole bunch of resources on like boss guides and stuff. Mm-hmm. That has gotten better, actually. Like, there's a couple of YouTube channels that actually make well-researched guides on bosses. Like, for example, if you would compare to like Fatboss TV or Ready Check Pull, they are maybe not on the same level of quality, but they're okay. Like, if you want to say like you're going Mythic raiding, most German people who are actually Mythic raiding know enough English to get around. But there's a good bunch of guides on normal and heroic mode in German. But that's not the case for classes. Like, for class guides, and especially more detailed class guides, there's just an absolute lack of. It's incredible how little resources there actually are available in German. And I've actually thought about this when you asked me to be here, because I read the notes and it actually said like non-English World of Warcraft resources. And I thought about it like, there's not only German in which the game is available.
Right.
And
no, you have to live in Tom's world. There's English.
No, and there's German. But I think there's actually a good thing to be thought about with this phrasing, because if you think about it, German, at least from what I know and from what I would guess, Germany is probably the second most populated language of the game. Maybe if you like blend out Chinese. But if you just take like the Western Hemisphere, Germany and German is probably the second largest player base. If you take all the people who are forced into playing on English servers because there's no native languages for them. So I was thinking about if the German resources are already that bad when they are the second biggest player base,
yeah,
how bad has the situation to be on, for example, Spanish or French resources? I obviously can't look into it because I do speak a bit of Spanish, but I haven't looked into it. But for example, French, I can't tell if there's Russian resources on World of Warcraft.
I had a friend that used to play on the North American servers, but they were Polish. And they complained quite frequently about the complete and utter lack of Polish resources. So
yeah, I absolutely believe that.
That's like the Polish population, I would imagine, is a lot smaller than the German player population.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. And if you just look at all the other European languages and maybe take Russian into account as well, just like I think there should be like a big lack of resources in the non-English speaking community in World of Warcraft. And I don't exactly know where this is coming from, because obviously there is a lot of people speaking these languages, and also I know a lot of high-end people who are playing World of Warcraft at a very competitive level, especially Germans. If you look at the former Method roster, for example, half of them are Germans.
Right.
But they're obviously all playing in English. They are playing with English people. They are consuming English resources. And so they don't really see the need for a German guide.
Yeah.
For example, if you look on WoWhead, there's actually, if you look for the German class names and Google for guide German, for example, if I want to play, like if I want to search for a German Mistweaver guide, I just Google for Nebelwirker guide Deutsch or German. The first thing that comes up is WoWhead, but there is no German Mistweaver guide on WoWhead. It just shows anomalies guide with German links in it. That's just that has triggered me so much every time I was trying to search for this, because it literally just shows the English WoWhead guide with German hyperlink.
Probably reads real well too, because like all the item names and like spell links are in German, right? Like
yes,
surrounded by a bunch of English words. Yeah.
Yes, I have tried like for years to stop WoWhead doing this, because every time I was looking for an item, I'm a very like passionate transmogger, for example. Yeah. And so every time I was looking for a transmog item that I wanted to look up where it can be found and stuff, I had the English Google result because my browser language is in English.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had the English WoWhead result, but as soon as I clicked on WoWhead, it takes my location to put the proper language and the proper localization in it. So I've always had the German item name show up and the German site for it. And obviously there's like no comments and no real data on the German items. So I've always had to remove the DE dot.
Separate comments too.
Yes. On the German side, when there's no German comments, it shows a section where it says English comments, and you can look on the English comments with the German item. But for example, if I wanted to know which NPC is selling it, I can't really do anything with the German NPC name. So I had to always manually switch switch my language to English because Wowhead just wouldn't stop showing me German sites. And that's the same with guides, actually. When I looked for Mistweaver guide without trying to find a German one, and I opened the guide, it still would show me like the German hyperlinks.
Oh gosh.
Because my localization was based on German. The only way I could have resolved the problem now by just signing up to Wowhead and changing my language to English once. It actually saves it when you have a profile there.
Yeah.
But apart from that, it was just always showing me the English sites, the German sites, and that was so annoying.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. I can imagine that's super frustrating.
So it's just, I don't know, the non-English resources are in a very sorry state, I think. And I can't really explain why, to be honest. I think there's just not enough people caring to translate it into other languages when they would have the ability to.
I would imagine some of it is also access, right? Because people could translate guides. And you're doing that for the Mistweaver guide, and obviously it's fairly labor intensive. But there's also not we have EU people that are involved in the Brewmaster theory crafting. But, you know, putting up guides is a lot of work.
Yeah, obviously.
And there's very few people that, like, the people that can, like, have firsthand theory crafting involvement they speak English, because that's where most of the theory crafting work happens, is in English because of the population size.
Yeah.
And so those people, if they're going to write a guide, they're probably writing it for like Wowhead or Icy Veins or Peak of Serenity, something like that, where the main target audience is English.
English, yeah.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. I mean, I have no experience in guide writing, and I've already seen how much work it is to translate them. I can only imagine how much work goes into actually writing them.
You just copy and paste some stuff from Abbey, and like that's all I do.
it's really
easy. No,
yeah,
well, maybe I should start my own site and just copy everything from Abe.
Yeah, it makes it easy. No.
AbeOfTrinity.com. Let's go.
No, I get. Yeah, it's. I mean, it's. There's. The, I think that's the biggest issue, is that I think at the end of the day, like, the audience isn't there. While it's definitely helpful for anybody to be able to read something in their sort of their language, it's just the audience probably isn't there to consume it. That's as large as like an English speaking audience.
Yeah, that's definitely the case.
Yeah.
Like, as I said, that's. At least that's my perception of the German community, World of Warcraft community. Like, it's very binary. There's like, I would call it like approximately the sub 30 generation. Obviously, there's always exceptions to that rule, but that would be like my general cutoff point. Well, I would say the sub 30 generation is more likely to take the game very serious and competitive. And those are also the people who are usually more adept in speaking English, because learning English hasn't really been a thing in German schools before like the 90s. There has been English, like English lessons and stuff like that in schools, obviously.
But it wasn't as common.
But it wasn't as common, and the people aren't very like required to do in there every day. Because this whole globalization thing didn't really exist in the 20th century. It wasn't its starting points, obviously. But for example, my mother, and she's very young for like her generation, so to say. She's 48 now.
Good. Hopefully she's not listening and you get that right.
I'm pretty sure it's right. She was born in 1972, and her birthday is in October, so she is 48. She speaks very basic English. Like, she understands basic sentences, but nothing above that. And my father, for example, who's like 10 years older, he's very bad at English. He probably, if I would give him one of the guides, and he's actually playing World of Warcraft, if I would hand him one of the English guides, he would not understand a single word.
Oh, God.
And like, that's usually the generation that is more likely to take the game a little bit more casual than the people sub 30. And those are also the people who are less likely to understand English properly, or at least well enough to read a whole ass guide about it.
Right.
So I think that's also a good part of the problem, so to say. But I think there's also still a lot of people who are just raiding heroic or just killing a bunch of mythic bosses by the end of the tier, who still would like to have access to actually well-researched resources. And there's a good amount of people who are in this, like, maybe between 30 and 40 section, who are taking the game kind of casual, but also kind of not. Like, they still would like to get heroic cleared and still would like to kill a bunch of mythic bosses. And obviously for these peoples, I would call them like semi-casual. The early mythic bosses are still hard for them, even by the end of a tier. And they would still like to improve on their gameplay. And they still have raid leaders who say like, dude, your DPS is horrible. Please get better. But how are they supposed to get better if they don't have access to resources that they understand and resources that are also well-researched? For example, like, they can read a guide over and over and follow it step by step. If the guide sucks, they won't get better. Right. Like, if they follow a guide step by step that is just plain wrong,
then they won't improve.
They won't improve. And then their raid leader will still be mad at them for being shit. Right. And they will wonder, like, why am I not getting better? Like, I follow everything that is on this guide. These are people making money off of writing those guides. Why is this not good? And I think that's a legit question to ask.
Right.
No, yeah, I 100% agree with that.
That's a very sorry state, I think. It may not be the biggest target audience, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think there's a bunch of people out there who would like to improve on the game, but they are just hindered by the fact that they do not speak English.
Yeah.
This is kind of a totally sidebar thing, but I think WoW has had a problem for a while with... It's very difficult to figure out from the game itself how you're supposed to play the game.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to do Mythic content, it's very difficult to figure out what you should be doing. The game doesn't, like, it's okay that the game doesn't necessarily tell you, oh, this is the right talent build and this is the right rotation and all of that, but some ways that the game kind of to try and onboard you into it would be useful.
Like writing tooltips that make sense.
I've had to explain staggered tooltips so many times.
In general, maybe make the tooltips kind of describe what actually happens.
Or not include so many hidden abilities and hidden mechanics into specs.
I'm sure there's still quite a few people who have no idea that, for example, Celestial Fortune for Brewmasters impacts absorbs. It's not in the tooltip, or at least it wasn't. I haven't checked in Shadowlands, but I'm assuming it's still not.
There's a lot of things in World of Warcraft that are just not obvious to the plain sight. Also, if you take talents, for example, I mean, I like it that they like try to promote a talent diversity, and it's working on some classes, no doubt. Like, some classes have talents that are actually very close to each other in terms of like raw damage output, for example. But then there's also classes where some talents are just straight up trash. Like, you are you are genuinely handicapping yourself if you take certain talents. And
as an example, rogues in BFA, Outlaw Rogue had the ability Slice and Dice available as a talent, and it replaced one of their other spenders for combo points.
Yeah.
It was a DPS loss to even have the talent, because you lost your other finisher.
Yeah, things like that, for example. And then there's people who just have no idea how to read a guide, or just don't want to read a guide, or something like this. And then they go, oh, this ability looks quite cool. I'm going to take it. It must be an improvement to my character. And they're going in like blindfolded, and then they are wondering why they are doing less damage than before they took that talent. Or for example, like on Monk, if you would say on Mistweaver, let's take the second to last talent roll where there's Chi-Chi, Refreshing Jadewind, and the Jade Serpent statue. For example, if I would have no clue how the class works and I would look at this, I would go like, Serpent statue is basically doubling my single target heal. Yeah. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna take this. That looks amazing. One of the other talents just replaces one spell that I already have. Like, why would I take this? I have that spell anyway. And Refreshing Jadewind looks kind of underwhelming. I think the tooltip says something like it heals for 200. Yeah, no. I'm gonna take the one that doubles my single target heal. It is not stated in the tooltip that the statue just channels for 8 seconds, and it also just plain sucks. Now, at least. Yeah. But then, if I wouldn't know this, I would go and say, Jace Serpent Statue is an amazing talent. Let's take this. And stuff like that exists for every single class. For example, I think that's in BFA. I mean, Arcane Mage was in a very sorry state in BFA anyway, but they had this talent that's, I think it's called Arcane Familiar, which basically summoned a pet to your side. If I would play Arcane Mage and I would read this talent, I was like, oh, cool, I can have a pet, I want this. But it was actually a damage loss over if you would not have taken it. And as long as those talents exist, I don't know why Blizzard is even trying to promote talent diversity, as long as talents exist that literally make you lose damage when you take them. That's
Blizzard balance for you. It's the way
Blizzard is definitely having a huge part in the problem that casuals find the game very hard to play sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're all bracing ourselves for some of that Blizzard balance coming on Tuesday and Wednesday week.
Fingers crossed for them not touching Mistweavers. Please don't. Yeah. I'm very happy with Mistweaver as is. Please do not touch them.
Slightly concerned because the two tanks I'm playing this tier are Brewmaster and Prop Paladin, which are both strong for different reasons, and I could totally see them nerfing both of them. I don't think they will in any meaningful way, except for maybe Prop Paladin damage. But
you never know with Blizzard, do you?
You never know.
Well, that is for sure.
Maybe they learned their lesson from the nerfs they put on Blood DKs in 8.0. One can hope.
I still heard from that. I've played a Blood DK as a main in Legion, and I locked in at like pre-patch from Legion to BFA, and I got absolutely hammered in Mythic Plus because I was used to being so OP that I could literally do everything I wanted. And I got absolutely gobsmacked in the first instant that I entered.
And then they nerfed them.
Nice. They really nerfed them.
But I think, do you have anything else you want to talk about with German resources for WoW players, anything like that?
I think I've said basically everything that I needed to get out there.
Okay. Shall we move on to your favorite section, Anam?
Yes! It's Q&A time! So we have like zero questions this week.
Everybody's too busy playing the game.
Everybody's too busy playing the game to then.
And they're coming, instead of asking us to answer their questions here on the show, they're actually just coming into Peak and asking us which Covenant to play.
Whichever one you think looks the best at this point does not matter.
I want to play no Covenant, please.
Mossworn, let's go.
No.
Oh, fuck true. Yes. Give me Mossworn as a Covenant, please. I want to join the Jailer. Yeah. Where's my RPG experience? I want to join the Jailer, for God's sake.
I bet you get a mount in the mall.
I mean, if this is an RPG, I should be able to collect dark side points, right?
Yeah.
That's true. That is true.
Dude, I would literally kill half of World of Warcraft's population in-game for a mount in the maw. I leveled the druid as my third alt, and the maw is so much more fun when you have access to travel form. It's incredible.
Next week we get Twisted Corridors. I don't know if the mount is guaranteed, but...
I'm going to farm the...
You'll be able to take a shot at it. I'm definitely going to try and get it.
I'm going to farm the crap out of it until I have that goddamn mount. That
better be account-wide.
Yeah. For sure. All right, well, without further ado, it is QA time. Like we said, this is my favorite part of the show. You guys send us questions. We answer them. They don't have to be WoW-related. They can just be about anything. And luckily today, we have two questions, and neither of them are WoW-related. So it's going to be a good time. So the first question comes from, you know, a regular on the show. They're so great. They ask questions every week.
You this mess comes, up their name every time.
I'm going to get this. I'm nailing it this time. All right, here we go. This comes from Hursty Zirkledides Scenarius.
As a German, may I tell you in percentage how much wrong that was?
Only if you lie and say it was like at least kind of good.
Okay, it was amazing.
Awesome. Nailed it. Okay, so Hursty, which is we're close now since they asked so many questions, I can address them as that. Hursty asks, since when do you or Emelson or you know Mimir, I guess when or if we play D&D, and then what are your favorite systems? So I guess Mimir, to you, do you happen to play D&D?
I actually do, yes.
Okay, awesome. When did you start? I believe it's first.
Okay, I'm not technically playing D&D, but I'm playing pen and paper. I started playing pen and paper 5 years ago. And I'm actually like kind of a meta slave, so to say, in terms of pen and paper. I started with the biggest German pen and paper system that exists. It's called Das Schwarze Auge, or the Dark Eye in English. And I've basically stuck to it ever since. I've tried a couple other things. I actually tried D&D, like the actual system D&D. Yeah. I've also tried Shadowrun. I've tried 7th C and Cthulhu. But I've basically always returned to the Dark Eye. It's basically the German D&D equivalent, so to say. Like every pen and paper player in Germany knows it. A lot of people play it. And yeah, that's been my first love 5 years ago, and I've stuck to it ever since.
Gotcha. Awesome. Well, I've played a couple of D&D sessions. I guess the Peak has our kind of own D&D.
Babs is on a huge D&D kick. So
yeah, Babs is the game master / person who does all the story stuff. I guess that's the same thing. There's not a slash there. It's literally the description of what the game master is. We've been doing what are they called? Like West something?
West marches. Marches. Yeah.
Yeah, which is sort of like one shot, like not one shots, but like it's sort of a group thing where you have like not everybody can join at the same time. So you sort of have different adventures that can go out. They're sort of like one shot adventures as a part of a larger story, right? And your character sort of levels up as a group. It's really useful for like groups that can't always meet with the same people every week, I think, is the reason they do that.
Yeah.
And that's the only D&D I've ever played. I literally did not play D&D before Babs like, hey, I'm gonna do this. So I will tell you, I grew up not in a house where D&D would be played at all.
Yeah, actually, same. I was not allowed to play D&D as a kid. So like a true nerd, I made my own D&D with blackjack and hookers. So
Jesus.
Not quite, but I did make my own role-playing system because like I would try to like, okay, so I couldn't play D&D, and it's like, okay, so what are your options if you can't play D&D but you want to play a tabletop role-playing game? And it's like Shadowrun is obviously not happening. Vampire the Masquerade, no fucking way. Cthulhu, not a chance. Like, there's a bunch of like the GURPS variants that you could probably find something that I could have stuck past them, but like, you could find manuals online and take, I mean, even without finding manuals, because that's not even ultimately what I ended up doing, but you take the basic idea of just rolling dice to figure out what happens.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was horribly imbalanced, but me and my friends who also weren't allowed to play D&D played a bunch of it as kids.
I mean, that's the whole point behind it, right? As long as you have fun, you're allowed to do anything.
Yeah. So, but more recently, we have a guild D&D group that we've been doing that started over the summer when people were stuck at home. Yeah. And so we've been doing that online. A bunch of the people that had D&D groups that couldn't play in person anymore were starting to, you know, look for alternatives that they could play during lockdown. And so we started one in guild, and that's the first time I actually played proper D&D.
Very cool. Yeah, it was fun. I honestly have not had time since launch to even a couple weeks before launch to even think about it, just because the like all the Wowhead stuff was due so early, and it was my first time writing, so I literally rewrote almost all of it. Probably wasn't the best idea, but yeah, that was fun. Well, cool. Well, Hursty, I'm not gonna say your full name. Thank you very much for the question.
Would you like to pronounce it for us, Mimir?
I can only assume how his actual name is called. The part behind the dash is just his server name.
Yeah.
Gotcha. How is it?
Yes, that's his server name.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's it. Okay. Scenarios is the server name.
Oh. Okay. Well,
and I can only assume that the actual name is called Horsty.
Horsty.
Yeah.
Horsty. Okay.
Horsty, Der Zirkel des Szenarios.
I don't sound like that.
No, you don't.
Cool. Okay. Well, Hoisty. That's such a
that
southern
is
accent.
Not at all what he said.
Not what he said. thank you for the question. We're gonna move on.
I'm not gonna try because I would butcher it too, so yeah. I don't feel too bad.
All right. And our second question comes from esteemed gentleman we all know. I'll say and love. It comes from anomaly.
Anemone.
Anomaly.
Yeah, it comes from our good friend Anomaly.
Anomaly, yes. I ask directly to our guest Mimir, why is FC Bayern the greatest football team on the planet?
This is using the Euro definition of football.
Of football, yes. Sorry.
Not the American one.
Yeah, I put it in cultural terms.
So I can't really answer a question that's already based on a false assumption. It would be like asking me why the sun is green if the sun isn't green in the first place.
Maybe the sun is green because your vision's going.
Exactly. Maybe you just don't know what greatness looks like.
That's not what I meant. But
he can twist any answer to his will.
Is that the skill that you have to develop as an FC Bayern fan?
Yes, 100%. No. You have to twist every discussion in your way, or you're not a true FC Bayern fan.
I will for our non-football our American football following friends who have no idea about soccer or football, the true football here. Emilson, this is like essentially liking the New England Patriots when they were good.
Okay.
Yeah. And being a kind of fan of the New England Patriots that like would tell you they are a Patriots fan like in the first 30 seconds of meeting them.
Patriots fan, you don't even have to. They won't to tell you because they're wearing a shirt and a hat.
That is very much true for FC Bayern fans as well.
Yeah.
So it's funny. My closet is mostly red. That is the main color that is in my closet. So, it's real bad.
I'm gonna send you a Patriots hat to go with your FC Bayern shirts.
I hate the Patriots. I don't even watch American football.
Can't have your cake and eat it too. And
I have Red Sox gear. They're kind of. I guess the Yankees would be the baseball equivalent of of that. Yeah. Everybody hates the Yankees except New Yorkers. But who likes New York anyway? In any event, thank you very much, Anomaly, for the question. That was a great one. Lemire, thank you for... I mean, I'm not even going to thank you. That wasn't an answer. I'm just kidding.
I'm just not going to get reinvited to the podcast ever. Yeah.
Oh, don't worry about it.
No, Emerson controls that, not me. So.
But I think that's going to about wrap it up for today. To those that showed up and watched the podcast live, thank you. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want to support it and all the other work that goes on over at the Peak of Serenity, including the guides and the translation work by Mimir, you can do that over on our Patreon at patreon.com/peakofserenity. And as always, we really appreciate your support, whether it's, you know, coming and hanging out as we do the show, or coming and hanging out in Discord, or supporting us through Patreon. But thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.